In chapter 6.8, I will discuss how to calculate the temperature in an MD simulation. The starting point for calculating the temperature are those generalized equipartition theorems shown in equation 102 and 103. We will in the end only consider the usual case where we have simple Cartesian coordinates and momenta, and in this case then just we will get equation 104, which tells us that each quadratic degree of freedom in the momenta gives us on average a contribution of kBT over 2 to the energy. So for an unconstrained system of n atoms, right, then we would have the formula 105. We would sum over all the atoms in our system, so that the sum I goes from 1 to the number of atoms, and then we would get here instead of 1/2, right, we would have an x, y, and z coordinate that gives a factor of 3, and then the number of atoms, so it's 3 times the number of atoms, 1/2 times kBT. Yeah, there is a problem with this formula. Let's assume we are doing, and that's typically what we are doing, right? We are doing a simulation with periodic boundary conditions. Then we could add to all velocities a certain velocity, for instance, that's pointing exactly to the right. So that would be then a center of mass velocity, such that all the particles, they kind of after a certain while, they will leave the simulation cell on the right-hand side, and then of course by periodic boundary conditions they have to enter again on the left-hand side. And if we add a larger velocity, right, this process will happen faster and faster, and then of course that would mean that the kinetic energy goes up and therefore the temperature goes up. So we could get arbitrarily high temperatures. So what's the problem? I mean, if we have in a real physical system, if we would have a subsystem that has a very large center of mass velocity, then of course this system will collide with other particles, and this center of mass velocity finally will be reduced more or less to zero. But in a simulation with periodic boundary conditions, that's not happening. In the same way, you can imagine that you modify your velocities in such a way that you have rotations, then of course also the velocities could become arbitrarily large and the temperature very, very high. And again, here in reality, such a high energy rotating particle would collide with other particles, and it would kind of give energy away to the particle with which it collides, and therefore it would cool down. And in the end, also it probably would have a rotational moment which is more or less zero. So what do we have to do in a computer simulation? In a computer simulation, we have therefore to make sure that those velocities don't have a component that corresponds to a movement of the center of mass. Okay, so that means we have essentially three conditions. We don't have we don't want to have any center of mass movement along the x, y, and z direction. So we have three constraints. And then also we don't want that we have rotations along the x, y, and z axis. So we have there, in this case, we've had three more constraints. And therefore, in the end, we have to use now this formula 106, where I have now this new quantity, which is nd, right, which is a number of really degrees of freedom that are available. So if I have a periodic system where I cannot have a rotation, where I can just have translations, then this nd would be 3n minus 3. And if we have a completely free particle that can also rotate, then actually the number of degrees of freedom actually is 3n minus 6. Yeah, so we have to use then this formula 106, right, together with the fact that we have to pay attention to our simulation. We have to choose velocities that don't give rise to a center of mass movement or to rotations. Okay, so now we know how to calculate temperature. What about a second important variable, namely the pressure? So if we again choose Cartesian coordinates, this generalized equipartition theorem of equation 103 becomes this equation 107. So here now I have a quantity that I call F tot. So those are the total forces. And now here in this case, actually, if you want to have the pressure, we have now to assume that you have something like walls. And therefore, we have to split up this total force in a part where we account only for the interactions of the atoms or particles with themselves. And then this second part, F external, that kind of represents the interactions with the walls or of the container. And then actually you can show that the pressure times the volume is given just by a sum over those RIs times the Fi external. So that's this equation 108. So I don't derive that in detail, I just tell you the result. Yeah, okay, what does it mean? That means then that we obtain for the pressure in the end, we obtain two contributions. We obtain then this n atom kVt plus 1/3 times this this sum. Yeah, this sum now can be rewritten in different ways. And so that's then shown in equation 110. So instead of having now the force that's just acting on atom number I split up this force Fi into the different contributions that come from just the interactions with all the other atoms J. So that's this Fij. Okay, then well, I can of course use the fact that action is equal reaction, and I can therefore write Fij equals minus Fgi. And if I do that, and if I still then introduce also an Rij, which is Ri minus Rj, then I get this final form of equation 112, and that's the way it's typically written, where you have now just a sum over those Rij's times Fij's. So this quantity is called the virial, and of course it's easy to calculate if you have interactions that are pairwise, so something like Coulomb interactions, gravitational interactions, then kind of that's probably the best form to calculate it. If you have interactions that are not kind of pairwise, not of the two-body type, then of course this formula doesn't hold anymore and you need more complicated formulas. Yeah, so what does it mean? Again, how do we calculate now the pressure, right? We have we look at equation 112. We, of course, have already learned how to calculate the temperature. So the temperature is known. And then, yeah, we have just to add to nkt. We have to add this 1/3 times this virial, and that will then give us the pressure of our system.